Let's call this meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee to order is 1:30 p.m. on Monday, February 16, 2026. Before we begin, I want to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Doug Bridges from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and all those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Senator Tilton, Senator Stevens, Senator Tobin, and myself, Senator Klayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. The only item on our agenda today is House Bill 93, Residency Requirements, Hunting, Trapping, Fishing, sponsored by Representative Hemshute. This is the first hearing of the bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Here to present the bill is Representative Hemshute and her staff, Thatcher Brower. Is Representative Hemshute and Mr. Brower, please come forward, put yourselves on the record, and you may begin your presentation.
Thank you, Senator Klayman, and thank you to the committee for hearing this bill today. My name is Rebecca Hemshute. I'm from House District 2. I represent 21 communities that span from Heidelberg to Yakutat, about 500 coastal miles here in Southeast Alaska. I have, like I said, 21 communities, 10 tribes, and 9 village corporations in my district. And I'll let Thatcher introduce himself.
Good afternoon, Chair Klayman and members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Thatcher Brower, staff to represent Hemshute.
And we have a slide presentation that we'll go through quickly, and then I think we have some invited testimony for you, and then hoping for some public testimony as well. Let's see. Okay, great. And I will read you parts of some slides. I apologize in advance for doing that.
We all like to read, so don't worry.
Okay. House Bill 93 basically looks to closely align the requirements to get a hunting, fishing, or trapping license as a resident with the requirements to get a permanent fund dividend. And as we've worked on this bill, we have found that this is an issue across the state, but we've also found that Alaskans really value their fish and game resources as much as the permanent fund dividend. In many cases, they value those resources quite a bit higher than the dividend itself. So, the current resident requirements are a little bit or very difficult to enforce. We have found through testimony with the troopers that few cases of questioned residency actually ever get really resolved, and that has a lot to do with the fact that some of these cases can take as long to investigate as a homicide case. And we heard last week just how long those can take. So. So the current requirements to qualify for a resident license are that you have to be physically present in the state, and you have to intend to remain indefinitely and to make a home here. You have to maintain a domicile in the state for the 12 consecutive months immediately preceding the application, and you can have no claim of residency in another state. And then the domicile is defined here, but I want to just remind the committee that there are 33 different or more different definitions of residency in the state of Alaska. So you can be Alaskan by a whole lot of different measures. And that would include things like for voting, homesteading, in-state tuition. Those are all different standards. So what we're talking about today is just the standard for hunting and fishing. So updating the requirement for a resident license is something that we need to do here in the state. The current definition is dependent on both intent and domicile, and it's difficult to improve someone's intent. And a domicile, it turns out, can be as simple as a room that you rent from someone in their house or a trailer that you keep in someone's yard. So we, through a variety of processes, have made more liberal bag limits for residents and reduced fees for residents. And so we now are also compelled to make a definition of residency that is enforceable. So the next three slides, I'm just going to demonstrate what the differences look like. So the first one is showing for fishing, what it looks like if you're a resident and a non-resident. If it's in grayscale, there's a difference, and what's not in grayscale shows you where it's the same. So it can be a substantial difference. And then on the next slide, having to do with hunting, and again, where it's not in grayscale, the bag limit is not different. And
so the left column is just whatever the item is, and then the middle and the right column are the two ones that show the differences.
Right. The middle column is the resident, and then the non-resident is the far right. And then this third slide will show the difference in license fees. And then this slide talks about what we're going to change with House Bill 93. So you will need to be physically present in the state just as we have right now. You need to intend to be here. You need to maintain a domicile for 12 consecutive months immediately preceding the application. You cannot claim to be a resident in another state. But we're looking with House Bill 93 to also add number 4. Physical presence in the state at all times during the 12 consecutive months preceding the application for a license, unless the absence was for an allowable absence consistent with the permanent fund dividend allowable absences. And I think it's important to note that the permanent fund division already has a crew of people who are making these determinations, and so it's advisable and beneficial to have any changes to those reside in the statute for dividends. And then it will apply in House Bill 93 as well. So rather than having different definitions in different places, we could continue to have our allowances in the dividend statute, and then those would apply for hunting and fishing residency as well. These are the allowable absences, and then there is a bill pending in the House to add pilots to this list. And I said these are the allowable. There are some other, this is not exhaustive, but these are most of the allowable absences. So you can see if you're serving in the military, if you're a student out of state, if you're working for a member of Congress for the state of Alaska, those are allowable absences right now. Those would all apply to people who want to hunt and fish as a resident.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Himshute, I see here you have congressional service, and on it says or the staff of an Alaskan member of Congress. Would that also include interns or externs?
I'm going to have to, through the chair, I'm going to have to turn to my staff. Do you?
Through the chair, Senator Tobin, I'll have to look into that and get back to you.
Remind us of who you are, please.
Apologies, Chair Clayman. Thatcher Brower for the record.
Thank you.
And I will just add that I was a fellow at the National Science Foundation and lost my dividend for 2 years because it was an academic year, and I missed enough of both years that I did lose my dividend for what I thought was a worthy cause. And then this
so just
slide...
just going back briefly to the
sure.
The education in the 12 months, I have these memories when our children were in college, they were gone from the state for considerably more than 6 months. Mm-hmm. And there was this whole process they had to go through with filling in forms and having copies of plane tickets and showing some stretch of time that they were actually in state for more than 10 to 12 or 14 days. I don't remember the numbers. And then they had to go to the registrar's office and have some form filled out that showed they were really a student at a particular school. And there were all these different things. But although they were gone more than 180 days, they still qualified for the dividend because they checked all the education-related boxes. So that would still apply in the hunting and fishing context as well. If they did all the things they needed to for the dividend, then they would still qualify for a resident hunting and fishing license.
Correct.
Okay, please proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Clayman. On this slide, I need to go back in my notes, sorry. On this slide, we're just showing that we say closely aligned because it's not 100%. So for example, you'll note for the dividend, you have to maintain your selective service registration. That would not apply under House Bill 93. You would still be able to hunt and fish if you were missing that piece. So it's closely aligned, but not an exact alignment with the dividend. And then we've been working on this bill for quite some time, and I think it's valuable to see just how broadly supported the concepts of House Bill 93 are across the state, including just last week, the Board of Game voted to write a letter in support. We don't have that letter yet, but that's forthcoming. And I just wanted to give some context for how this bill came to be. The idea for this bill, the loophole was brought to my attention by constituents in my district. And then we took it further out and found organizations across the state and individuals across the state, including a number of advisory committees. And these are representative. We haven't been able to get to all. I think there's 80 some advisory committees across the state. We haven't been able to reach all of them. but we've found broad support across the state. So as you can imagine, in the small towns of my district, you really know who's there year round. You know who's just there for a few months or even a few weeks at a time. And so it's really visible, I think, in the small towns, but we are finding that people are experiencing this loophole across the state. And then, to be really clear, there are a couple of things the bill doesn't do. So while it does make a more enforceable standard, and it does provide that residents will continue to enjoy the larger bag limits and the lower license fees, what it does not do is it does not impact in any way how licenses are issued. So that's still an online process, and it doesn't burden a clerk in some kind of establishment that sells licenses, because it's the same process. And then the bag limits and fishing opportunities for non-residents, fishing and hunting opportunities for non-residents, are also not impacted. We welcome them. We want them to come here and enjoy our resources as non-residents. And I guess what I would say in summary for this bill is that we, as the state of Alaska, have a compelling interest to close this loophole and to make a clear and enforceable definition in our residency standards for hunting and fishing, so that Alaskans who are investing in their communities year-round have that access to a higher bag limit and a lower license fee that we've already provided. And in many of the communities that I represent, and I think across the state, having that freezer full of fish and game resources can make the difference between whether a family is able to stay in Alaska and raise their kids here, or has to make the difficult choice to go someplace with a lower cost of living and more than likely out of state. So we think this bill will solve some problems. So thank you for hearing the bill.
Questions from Senator Stevens?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question on what is the punishment, if you will, for violating this, claiming to be a resident and not being a resident? What would happen to someone who did that?
Thank you through the question. Thank you for the question through the chair. We do have Major Frenzel from the troopers online who might be able to answer that better than I can.
And Major Aaron Frenzel with the Deputy Direct Alaska Wildlife Troopers is online. Trooper Frenzel or Major Frenzel, did you hear the question? Can you answer it?
Yes, Chair Clareman. This is Major Aaron Frenzel, Deputy Director of Alaska Wildlife Troopers. It was a little broken, if I could have the question repeated, so I answer it correctly, please.
Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, sir. Just a major, just asking, what is the punishment if someone violates this and they claim to be a resident of Alaska and are found not to be? What punishment do they face?
Thank you again, Major Aaron Frenzel, Deputy Director of Alaska Wildlife Troopers. Through the chair, Senator Stevens, it kind of depends on how far they go with their residency. Sometimes we have people that just gain a sport fish license and come up here, hunt or fish maybe for a week or something. Those are strict liability offenses. They're on our bail schedule set through rules of court, and that's a $300 violation, I believe. So almost less than a speeding ticket or a stop sign ticket or something. Other people that claim residency and start gaining other benefits, big game tags, taking species that are required to have a guide for, it kind of opens the door to a spider web of other violations. They might be taking additional resources that are only eligible for residents of Alaska. So, for example, in your area, king crab, personal use, that's only for residents of Alaska. So now there could be a potential other citation for that. And that gets into your misdemeanor level violation or criminal violations there.
Thank you, Ms. Sharon. Could you address bear hunting? I mean, that's a big issue in my community. If someone violates that, what fines could they face?
Yes, through the chair, Senator Stevens. Deer in different parts, southeast as well, and Kodiak. A lot of times we do differentiate between a resident bag limit and a non-resident bag limit. So you'll see someone might want to claim Alaska residency so that they can take an additional deer or two deer in an area. So when that occurs, we would have the original charge of false statement or false claim to Alaska residency, and then take over a limit of deer, because as a non-resident, they were only afforded, let's say, one deer, and they actually took two. So then that's a Class A misdemeanor as well if they take an over limit.
I'm sorry. I didn't pronounce it correctly. I was saying bear. How about the grizzly bear? Because that's a big issue for us. Oh. And I'm sorry, my fault. Could you address the bear, grizzly bear issue, Major?
Sorry for the confusion through the chair, Senator Stevens. Yes, bear is a species in Alaska that requires a guide for a non-resident. So a guided brown bear hunt, let's say on Kodiak Island, $25,000 will save the number for a guided species. So a non-resident has now taken a bear claiming to be an Alaska resident. They haven't gotten a guide, which by statute they're required to have. So then you have another charge of failed to be accompanied by a big game licensed guide, which is a Class A misdemeanor.
Well, thank you.
I will share a personal story. I represented several years ago a person that was charged in your district, represented him shoot in Sitka. I specifically remember my father and son. They were from the lower 48, fairly wealthy because they had bought an island or a portion of an island near Sitka, and they had then used that address to get resident hunting and fishing licenses, although they maintained significant residences elsewhere. And when this was discovered, the two I was aware of were the father and son, and I was representing the son. But they both pled guilty to the charges, and they were Class A misdemeanors with potential jail time. And it was interesting because they really had been using the in-state license, which they acknowledged they should never have applied for to gain more fish and game. I actually don't remember whether it was just fish or whether it was fish and game, but they checked all the boxes of the illegal conduct that Senator Stevens is asking about, and both pled guilty.
Did you win or lose?
In the very narrow world, the son was pleased because he had a probationary sentence that if he did well on probation, the conviction would come off his record. Other questions? All right. Senator Tobin, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm just curious because I see here in the very first section, it references a permanent identification card under B of that subsection, but we don't see what those items are. Can you explain or identify what some of those permanent forms of identification may be?
I think through the chair, I think I'd allow Mr. Brower to answer that one.
Again, for the record, Thatcher Brower, staff to represent him, shoot. And through the chair, Senator Tobin, I'll have to pull up the bill. But my understanding is what we're referencing in Section 1 is a permanent identification card that's available for somebody who's 60 years or older. And it's a card that they are able to, once they get that card, they don't have to renew it every year. And so this bill, the way this bill would apply to those individuals is they would have to meet the updated residency requirements, but they wouldn't have to apply every year, or they wouldn't have to get a new car every year or card every year, just like we get a fishing license.
This is a provision that will allow me to get a permanent hunting and fishing license, but Senator Stevens might not be old enough to get that.
Oh, long ago.
All right. I don't see any other questions. We have invited testimony, and starting out with Leif Wilson from the Toke Fish and Game Advisory Commission or Committee. Mr. Wilson, if you're on the phone, please make sure you're not on a speakerphone, as the sound quality is not as clear, and we can't always hear what you're saying. And with that, please begin your remarks.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, can you hear me okay?
Yes, loud and clear.
Oh, okay, great. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for taking the time to listen to me today.
My name is Leif Wilson. I live in Tok, Alaska. I've lived here my whole life. I'm a pilot and an aircraft mechanic. I'm also the owner and operator of an air taxi and a big game transporter business. We also operate a medevac service flying sick and injured people to Fairbanks or Anchorage, among many other things that come up. I'm the current chair of the Upper Canada 40 Mile Fishing Game Advisory Committee and have been a member of that committee since 1995. We help in our business here support many local organizations, especially kid-oriented ones in this area. Every year, me, my family, my partners, my employees, we transport hunters. We hunt, we trap, and get fish as part of our livelihood. Fishing game resources are extremely important to us, both for subsistence use and a way for us to make a living. Currently, our laws allow people to live a majority of their lives in other states, come here, take our fishing game resources and leave with them while paying little to nothing. They're not breaking any laws. There's no amount of effort or money for law enforcement will change what is happening. The laws need to change. I see more and more of this every year in my business when I talk to people and they're in the winter when they're booking hunts. You know, it used to surprise me when they were down south. Now it doesn't anymore. I've gotten kind of used to it. I see more and more people taking advantage of this every year. I think that matching the minimum residency requirements to the dividend is a good way to set a minimum and make it enforceable. I think it's still a pretty low bar to set, but it will work well. To me, and most of the people that I know and live around, the fishing game resources are worth much more to us on a yearly basis than what the dividend is. I believe that that these resources deserve at least as much protection as the dividend program currently has. And thank you. That's all I had.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson. I see no questions from the committee. Next, for invited testimony, we have Scott Newman. Mr. Newman, if you would please proceed and make sure you're not on a speakerphone.
Okay, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, hello. My name is Scott Newman. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I'm a master hunting guide, commercial fisherman, and a commercial pilot. I own and operate Petersburg Flying Service based out of Petersburg, Alaska. I'm also a member of the Petersburg Borough Assembly. I support House Bill 93 as it addresses the issue of maintaining residency in our great state for the purpose of hunting and fishing. Alaska has many definitions of residency, and House Bill 93 creates an enforceable definition for the purpose of hunting, trapping, and sport fishing as a resident, addressing a long overdue issue of accountability. Opponents argue that House Bill 93 will create a new definition of what it means to be an Alaska resident. I say if you're gone for more than 180 days and you don't fit into the 16 reasons for allowable absences, not be able to hunt and fish as a resident. You can still be an Alaskan, but you will need to hunt and fish as a non-resident. I, for one, will welcome the change that will come with the passage of House Bill 93. It is about time Alaska stopped giving away its fish and wildlife resources to people who spend very little time in the state. The abuses I see from year to year are getting worse, and I feel it is only fair for people to pay their fair share of fishing. My experience of being on the Petersburg Borough Assembly has taught me many things. One of them is the fact that there are often many issues that put the rights of the individual against the good of the rights of the individual against the good of the collective. And while with passage of this bill, there may be certain people impacted, the overall good will far outweigh the downside of a few people that will have to pay a little more to access the resources. In summary, House Bill 93 is a necessary requirement for a definition long remembered. It makes people accountable through their contribution to access Alaska's fish and wildlife resources and gives our state much needed revenue to manage those resources. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you very much. I see no questions from the committee. Next, we have Clinton Cook. And Mr. Cook, if you're on the phone, please make sure you're not on a speakerphone and you can proceed with your remarks.
Good afternoon, Chair Klayman and members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. For the record, my name is Clinton Cook. I am the tribal president of the Craig Tribal Association, residing in Craig, Alaska on the west coast of Prince Wales Island. I also serve as a second vice president of the Central Council, Klinkenaida Indian Tribes of Alaska. Both the Craig Tribal Association and Klinkenaida are members of the Alliance of Sovereign Tribes of Southeast. Through those two tribal seats, I also have the honor to serve on the National Congress of American Indians Executive Committee as the Alaska Regional Vice President alternate, and also am able to serve on the Alaska Federation Native Subsistence Committee. Southeast Alaska tribes from the following communities signed the alliance letter to support for House Bill 93: Craig, Skagway, Kasan, Ketchikan, Cake, Saxton, Juneau, Kolok, and Metlakatla, demonstrating broad regional support for this legislation. For Alaska Native people and our rural communities, subsistence is not a sport or hobby. It is not a seasonal activity. It's the pure foundation of our food security and food sovereignty, our culture, and our identity to Indigenous peoples. House Bill 93 is important because it helps ensure that resident harvest privileges are truly reserved for Alaska residents. As the Alliance noted in its January 2026 letter to the legislature, aligning hunting and fishing residency standards with those who used for the permanent fund dividend helps to protect local resources for those who live here around and contribute to the stewardship of these resources through taxes and other means. This legislation helps prevent out-of-state individuals from disappropriately benefiting from local resources without contributing to our preservation. I would like to lift up a few key points raised by the Alliance. First, the bill helps reduce misuse of resident hunting and fishing licenses by individuals who live outside of Alaska most of the year but still claim resident benefits. That misuse matters because it results in lower fees, higher harvest limits, increased pressure on resources that our community depend on. Second, House Bill 93 protects subsistence resources by ensuring that resident harvest opportunities are not diluted by people taking advantage of residency loopholes. For our communities, that can mean a difference between having enough food for the winter or simply not having enough. Third, this legislation helps support rural and tribal communities where traditional foods are not optional. They are necessary for nutritional health, cultural continuity, and economic survival. Many of our families cannot simply substitute store-bought food when harvest decline. And lastly, House Bill 93 strengthens conservation itself by creating clearer and more enforceable residency standards for wildlife management. When rules are clear and fair, compliance improves, and our resources benefit us in the long run. Throughout Southeast Alaska, our communities are already seeing growing pressure on subsistence resources by habitat loss, changing environmental conditions, and increasing demand on all affect of people, what we can put on a table, when individuals who live outside of Alaska are still able to claim resident privileges. It places additional strain on resources that rural and Alaska Native families depend on for survival. But I want to emphasize one additional point. As implementation of this bill moves forward, it will be essential that the state continue to work directly with tribes, Wildlife management decisions affect our citizens in very real ways, and Indigenous knowledge and partnership can help ensure that bill supports both conservation and the long-term health of our communities. The Tribal Alliance specifically asked that implementation respect federal trust obligations, Alaska Native subsistence rights, and Indigenous knowledge, and I want to reiterate that request today. House Bill 93 is about fairness, sustainability, and protecting the traditional foods and sustain our coastal communities. We appreciate the legislature for this attention on this issue and encourage your support for the bill. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you very much. I don't see any questions from members of the committee. And that's all we have for invited testimony, so we're going to go ahead and open public testimonies on House Bill 93. And if you're on the phone, please make sure you're not on a speakerphone so we get good sound quality. Public testimony will be limited to 2 minutes, and I will start by asking if there's anyone in the room that would like to provide public testimony. Please come forward. Have a seat. You're right here.
Okay, I was going to go ahead and sign in.
No, you get to sit down.
Okay.
We'll get your name when you tell us. Tell us your name.
My name's Paul Johnson. I'm from Southeast Alaska. I feel pretty honored. I'm sitting here looking at a picture of John Butrevich. You know, he almost was our first governor. Real close. And I look back as he was one of those that ushered our state into being a state from a territory. And part of that, I think, created the first permanent fund, which was our fish and game for our residents. And the same stories that I'm hearing here today were the same reasons that a lot of people went together with the tribes and everybody else to support statehood, was for people in the state of Alaska. Over time, because of the Zobel case and different things, the reality is residency changed, requirements changed, and I feel sometimes like the Ziegler painting out here walking upstream. But our resources aren't going to always fit. And with that, it has gotten to the point with words like intent for the troopers to even follow through and to reach resolution on a lot of these, and each judge reading the word abode differently, which we changed. Gosh, it's been 20 years ago we changed that. It didn't work. It didn't do what we hoped it had done. That was an effort just like this effort. So as much as we cherish the permanent fund we have today, let's match these up, because they're both cherished resources. One's renewable, one's not. And leave it for those that come as close as possible to be residents. And I assure you, and I don't want to go through numbers here, but I can assure you, this late loophole is no longer a small loophole. It's big. And we've become the summer playground for folks. How far can we go? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to provide public testimony? And if there's others, if you would please come forward, ma'am. If there's others in the room that want to provide testimony, come to the chairs that are closer to the front so you can come up more quickly when the next one finishes. Please identify yourself for the record. You've got 2 minutes.
All right. I'm Lee Parker, and I'm going to skip some of this. I've heard enough from the other folks. Anyway, I've been Alaskan for 50 years by choice, and in the late 80s, I purchased a home in Juneau, which I still own and occupy. I've hunted and fished and picked wild berries and hiked and camped in this great state. From late 2000 to early 2016, I was hired 14 times as a transient worker in the United States Antarctic Program, always returning back to my home with my pets and my own bed at the end of each contract. There is no grocery store, shopping malls, movie theaters, and so on in which to spend your money down in Antarctica. South Pole has a tiny store, the size of a ship store, a few sun-dried goods, souvenirs, mummified candy bars, flat soda pop, and stale beer. they're not going to spend much money on those limited offerings. So the income earned would easily come home with you back to Alaska. I would meet fellow Alaskans serving in Antarctica who were well represented there. They all shared the problem of often being denied a PFD when our contract kept us in Antarctica for more than 180 days. Earning more money to bring back to Alaska, but being denied the PFD. But now you would also deny them a resident hunting and fishing license. I suspect there are other occupations that require travel outside of Alaska, such as flight crews and long-haul truck drivers. I can't speak for them, but I can sure as heck speak for those of us who have served down in Antarctica. I could tell you much more about that, but I'm going to stay about 2 minutes.
Well, Ms. Harbert, you're at the two-minute mark, so if you could conclude, that would be great. And I will yes, tell you while you think about your concluding remarks. Many years ago, I dreamed of getting one of those Antarctica jobs, and I never delivered. So you did good work to get there. But if you want to conclude, that would be great.
The conclusion is please don't further the harm. Don't further harm the groups of Alaskans who are unfairly denied the PFD. I don't know how you're going to do that, but please don't.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anyone else in the room that would like to provide public testimony? Oh, and Ms. Harper, if you would like, you're more than welcome to submit your comments in writing, and we'll put them in the record. And you can just, I think you can get it to the committee aide, and she will make sure they get recorded. Actually, now I'm getting more instructions. If you have written comments, you can send them to the committee email, which is senate.judiciary@akledge.gov, and encourage all written comments. All right. Next, I don't see anyone else in the room. Well, next, we're going to go to the Petersburg LIO for Max Warhatch. Mr. Warhatch, you have 2 minutes.
Hello, Chair Clayman and committee members. Appreciate the opportunity to testify today. I'm Max Warhatch. I live in Petersburg as a commercial fisherman. I'm a member of the Northern Region Southeast Aquaculture Association, their board. I'm also a transboundary member and I represent Alaska in the United States, the Pacific Salmon Commission. I've lived and or worked in Petersburg since 1969. I'm in support of this bill of raising the bar for residency as it relates to sports fishing, hunting, and trapping. I was formerly the last 14 years on the Petersburg Advisory Committee to the Boards of Fisheries and Game and chaired it for several years. One of the things that came to me out of that was how important it is these resources are to our residents and how they use them and how it is actually a cultural and traditional way of life to people here to harvest these resources. And just in dealing with those people, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of support for this bill because people do guard this jealously and appreciate it. I view the resident status for fishing and hunting and dividends as a dividend. A dividend of more value to me than the permanent fund dividend itself. Like the permanent fund, it should be restricted to people who live here year-round, who raise their children, put their kids in school, have businesses, work in municipalities, and volunteer in their community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we're going to the off-net, and first person up is Matt Freund. Mr. Freund, you've got 2 minutes.
Hi, good afternoon. I appreciate the time to address the committee and certainly appreciate your efforts as public servants. So I'd like to speak in opposition to this bill. I think the fundamental provision that you're violating here is the keep it simple, stupid principle, which from an enforcement standpoint, I know we mentioned that this bill will be somewhat different than the PFD requirements. I give you a very simple difference. The PFD requirements are calendar year, whereas this is 12 months preceding the application. So I think if you consider what the infrastructure that's required to administer the PFD is, you should expect to have a very similar infrastructure in place to both track and then appeal and adjudicate applications for resident licenses. The fundamental issue beyond the simplicity element is that this will disenfranchise registered U.S. citizen voters, and it's not a small number. The estimates are there are around 600,000 U.S. Citizen registered voters in Alaska, and only around 470,000 over 18 PFD recipients. So I'd ask you all as elected representatives to reflect on what your margin of victory was the last time you you ran, and consider that somewhere between a quarter and a fifth of those voters did not meet PFD requirements while they were legitimate U.S. citizen, Alaska citizen registered voters.
Mr. Vorn, you're at the two-minute mark. If you could conclude your remarks, that'd be great.
You bet. Again, I appreciate your consideration, and I wish you the best of luck in addressing the issue at hand. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we've got Gary Hollier calling from Kenai.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. My name is Gary Hollier. I'm a 72-year lifelong Kenai, Alaska resident. I maintain Alaska as my permanent domicile. I've received every PFD since inception. I respectfully oppose the provision in HB 93 that ties resident hunting and fishing eligibility to the permanent fund. Under Alaska Statute 16.05.415, residency for hunting and fishing has been based on domicile and intent to remain in Alaska. Alaska Statute 43.23 governs dividend eligibility for a different purpose, using the 180-day PFD absent rule to redefine access to fish and wildlife represents a significant policy shift that could disproportionately affect seniors, retirees, reworkers, and other long-term residents who winter outside but do not claim residency or get benefits in any other state. I respectfully suggest that tying hunting and fishing residency to permanent fund dividend standards raises important questions under Article 8 of the Alaska Constitution. Article 8 guarantees common use and uniform application of our natural resources for the people of Alaska. Before making a substantial change in how residency is defined for license eligibility, I encourage careful review to ensure this shift aligns with those constitutional principles that does not unintentionally narrow access for lifelong residents who maintain Alaska as their permanent home. I ask that the PFD linkage be removed to protect long-term residents who remain committed to Alaska as their home. I also sent in several emails to this issue, and if I've received every PFD, but if I somehow miss 180 days in Alaska and do not receive a PFD, but I don't get
Mr.
a benefit
Hollier,
in another state,
Mr.
I am still an Alaska resident.
Mr. Hollier.
So, okay, thank you very much for your time. Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Andrew Mueller. Mr. Mueller, you've got 2 minutes.
Good afternoon. Thank you for your service, and thank you for taking public testimony. My name is Andrew Mueller. I live here in Palmer, and I strongly support HB 93. Is it perfect? No, but it's an improvement. This is really about conservation. It's not about residents and non-residents. It's really about bag limits, season limits, and providing opportunities for those who reside here year-round to harvest and sustain themselves in Alaska. If you live in the lower 48, you go grocery shopping, you pay 20 to 30% less. Alaskans don't have that benefit. People reside in other states because they keep their residency in Alaska because they don't pay income tax. I think it's time that the state of Alaska values its resource and ensures that those that live here more than 180 days have access to that resource. With that, I conclude my testimony.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we've got Bonnie Jensen here from Juneau. Oh, I'm seeing a shaking head from Rick. Oh, Ms. Jensen, you've got 2 minutes.
Chair Klayman, I was actually calling in for to answer a question for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Okay. All right. Well, we will not note you as part of the public testimony zone. I do have you in the notes as here to answer questions, and they also have you in that section. But we will next go to Ken Vorasek calling from Fairbanks.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you for letting me testify. I'm a 53-year Alaskan resident, and I've been listening to the testimony, and a lot of the talk about enforcement is comparing non-residents to residents. That's not what this bill is all about. This bill is affecting actual residents of the state. It's taking the residents of I'm sorry, but you guys got me flustered here. I've been hearing all this stuff. Let me see if I can get this out here a little clearer. Oh, man, I'm sorry. I'll tell you what. If you would be so good, I submitted a letter to you folks this morning that more clearly expresses what I was hoping to be able to express here. And I'm asking that you please read it and consider it. It makes very valid points. I am concerned that this bill affects 100,000 Alaskans, that it's going to remove their hunting and fishing privileges. Out of the 740 Alaskan residents that we have now, 140,000 of them did not apply for the permanent fund. If those 140,000 people, the same requirements are put on Fish and Game, those same 140,000 people are no longer going to have access. Nobody talks about or quantifies the amount of this problem. When I asked Senator Henshin's office how big this problem is, I got a response. We don't have the ability to quantify how many people are taking advantage of this loophole because that data doesn't exist. So we have no documentation on how large this problem is, but we can extrapolate that there's going to be about 100,000 residents affected by it, and out of 230,000 license holders, there is going to be about 32,000 of them that are no longer allowed to.
Mr. Vorasek, you are at your 2 minute mark. We appreciate the written comments you've already submitted. Would you like to add any closing remarks?
I certainly would love to, but I'm afraid it's just 2 minutes. It's just not enough time for me to make any, unless somebody has some questions, and then I would love to have a little more time, but.
We're giving everyone 2 minutes. We're giving everyone 2 minutes. We're giving everyone 2 minutes, and we do have your letter. So I think that gives us a good idea of where you stand. Thank you very much.
Next
in the queue is Walter Riker calling from Anchorage. Mr. Riker, you've got 2 minutes.
Hello there, Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for taking me today and receiving me. My name is Walter Riker. I'm a resident of Midtown Anchorage and a commercial pilot for United Airlines. I'm here today to respectfully oppose Alaska House Bill 93. As written, this bill would deny resident hunting and fishing privileges to Alaskans who are physically outside the state for more than 180 days per year. I understand there's some stipulation around that, but my concern is that while I understand the goal of protecting true residency, this approach unfairly penalizes residents whose careers require them to be out of state. I think there should be an exemption put in for this, or it should be more clearly stated, as commercial pilots and flight attendants are a clear example of this. Many of us live in Alaska. Our homes are here. We pay taxes here. We vote. We raise our families here. Our work schedules, much like myself and some of my family members and colleagues, require us to spend significant time flying outside of the state. That doesn't make us non-residents. It's just our career that brings us to that area. And it's my perception that under House Bill 93, a pilot commuting to a base outside or flying a multi-day trip outside of the state could easily exceed 180 days out of state, ruling out their eligibility. The same is true for flight attendants or anybody else who travels for work. We would lose our resident hunting and fishing privileges, which, at least for myself and many of my friends, is the entire reason we decided to move our lives up here. but because we work in transportation, we're subject to that kind of exposure. Hunting and fishing are my culture and my identity at this point in my life. I can't imagine losing them. They're not luxury benefits to me. It's the core of what it means for me to live here. Residency's always been about my domicile and my intent, not about counting the days that are on a calendar.
Mr. Riker, you're at the two-minute yes. mark. If you could conclude your remarks, that would be great.
Sure. This bill would force Alaskans to choose between their profession and their heritage, and in my perception, that's not a fair choice. I respectfully urge you guys to reconsider or amend this legislation so that it protects true residency and it doesn't punish residents whose jobs require them to be out of state. Thank you for your time, everybody.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we've got Stacy Kleinsmith calling from Chugiak. 2 minutes.
Hello, this is Stacy Kleinsmith. To the Honorable Chair Klayman and respected committee members, thank you very much. Are you all able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I have submitted written testimony, and I am honored to be among the residents of Alaska, both for and opposed to this bill. I love hearing when people are brought out to see their passions about something. I am passionately an Alaska resident, and I am very opposed to this bill as written. I can't speak for the 100,000 other Alaska residents who don't qualify for the PSD, but in my case, two out of the last 3 years, I fell out of qualification for the PFD. The first because I had breast cancer and sought treatment outside, but my medical plus my chosen leisure had me out 183 days, and the PFD committee deemed that I was not qualified. So I would have also fallen out of my ability to hunt and fish. And then now, because I'm choosing to help care for a family member who is not terminally ill, I would also fall outside of this. And I do believe I add socio and economic value as a 50-year resident of Alaska. It's really hard for me to, on principle, understand that people are suggesting that I am the one who's would be operating in this loophole, that I am the one taking advantage of the resources that I love so much. Apparently, my having taken one doll sheep in 17 hunts is a gross waste of resources. And I think that's just a shame. So I do would encourage everybody to read thoughtfully through all this. Yes, I will. Thank you. I appreciate your consideration, and I would strongly urge you to oppose as written. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in line is David Eggleston. Mr. Eggleston, you've got 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, the committee. My name is David Eggleston. My wife and I are residents of Southeast Alaska in Thorne Bay on Prince of Wales Island. I'm the chairman of the East Prince of Wales Advisory Committee, the secretary of the Thorne Bay Fisheries Association, a member of the Southeast Alaska Guides Organization, and a part-time saltwater fishing guide. I'm active in my community, volunteering, regularly attending city council meetings, and have been a substitute teacher for the Southeast Island School District. I'm a retired 30-year police officer, as a blue shirt trooper and a brown shirt wildlife trooper equivalent in another state. I strongly support HB 93. It will help tighten up the loopholes that are allowing thousands of people from improperly claiming residency in Alaska. You know, we'll give our Alaska troopers better tools to enforce our residency laws. In all of our communities, we see many people come out from out of state for a month or two, buy property, place a trailer, or build a small cabin or house and get a post office box, register to vote, and call it their permanent residence. They then run subsistence long lines for halibut and net fish and subsistence and personal use fishers and hunt big game here, with a more liberal bag limit given to residents. The fish and wildlife we harvest are a significant portion of our protein intake. For some in our community, it is all the protein they eat. Is that right that fake residents come to Alaska and take two king salmon a day instead of one a year? And it's not right that they come and run a subsistence longline for halibut and take up to 20 halibut per day instead of two. But these people with a buy non-resident licenses, ADF and G, would increase revenue measured in hundreds of thousands of dollars statewide.
Mr. Eggleston, you're at the two-minute mark. If you could conclude your remarks, that'd be great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we've got Mark Richards.
Good afternoon, Senator Clayman. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. For the record, my name is Mark Richards. I'm the Executive Director of Resident Hunters of Alaska, and I'm representing our organization today. As stated in our letter, while we certainly support the intent of this legislation to ensure that people who don't really live here cannot hunt, fish, or trap under a resident license and resident seasons and bag limits, we have concerns about the number of real Alaskans who will be negatively affected by this bill if it is tied to the PFD requirements. I got a call from one of our members who is a commercial airline pilot and big-time sheep hunter. He said this legislation, depending on his work schedule, may make him a non-resident, even though his wife and teenage children live here in Anchorage in their only home, attend school there, and they all have the intent to remain here. If this bill passes as written, not only will he not be considered an Alaskan resident, he may have to pay for a non-resident hunting license and be required to hire a guide at the cost of $30,000 just to go sheep hunting. I want to note that Representative McCabe brought this up on the House side and offered an amendment to exempt certain airline pilots that did not pass. He has since submitted a bill, House Bill 295, an act relating to the allowable absences in terms of PFD requirements, which ironically is co-sponsored by the sponsor of HB 93. So it seems crystal clear that we know this legislation as written will negatively impact some real Alaskans. Rather than depend on separate legislation that will exempt those real Alaskans, we'd like to see amendments to this bill to do that. Until then, we cannot support this bill as written. And one last thing, Chair Clayman, if I may.
Please.
I just wanted to note that the Board of Game did vote on supporting House Bill 93 at their recent Southeast meeting in Wrangell, but that vote was not unanimous. One of the seven Board of Game members adamantly opposed this legislation. That's all I have. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Jerry Callum. Mr. Callum, you have 2 minutes.
Did you say Jerry Callum?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. My name is Jerry Callum. I've been an Alaska resident for 48 years and lived in Palmer most of that time. My wife and I built a commercial greenhouse on Trunk Road, and we ran it for 25 years, growing plants, training young people how to enjoy hard work. I'm testifying in strong support of HB 93. Our current hunting and fishing regulations make it far too easy to fake residency. Anyone who can afford a piece of recreational property, sign a form, register a vehicle, or drop their out-of-state voting rights can falsely claim for resident privileges. That loophole is being exploited every more. The rest hunting and fishing privileges are one of the greatest incentives that we have for keeping our younger, born and raised Alaskan invested in the state and its future. Those privileges, lower fees, extra tags, and guide requirement have real value when you factor in the avoided cost of guides alone that can easily exceed $50,000 per year for a serious hunter, and that's more than the PFD. Under the current rules, we're giving away substantial incentive to those people that visit for a few weeks or months while tying the hands of law enforcement and diminishing one of the main reasons why our kids and grandkids stay here long term. As a private pilot who's hunted from Brooks Range to Cold Bay, I've seen this fake residency trend firsthand on both ends of the state and everywhere in between. It is not a small problem. These people aren't terrible criminal types. They're just following the growing pattern that is normalized because so many others do it. But when they ship their kids south to their real home state, they unknowingly trigger federal Lacey Act violations. The time to stop this is now, aligning the residency standard for hunting and fishing with clear, enforceable PFD rules will protect our resources, restore fairness, and give our young generation back a powerful reason to remain invested Alaskans. And I thank you guys for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Kurt Whitehead from Kluwak.
Good afternoon, Chairman Klayman and committee members. My name is Kurt Whitehead. I'm the secretary for the East Prince of Wales, the Craig, and the Kluwak Alaska Department of Fish and Game Advisory Committees. I'm a year-round resident and owner-operator of Treasure Hunter Lodge. We offer fully guided charter fishing trips and black bear hunts. We've operated from the Kluwak Harbor since 2007. House Bill 93 originally started in the East POWAC meeting on December 13, 2018. At that meeting, the 15 elected representatives from Kasan, Whale Pass, Kaufman Cove, Hollis, Thorn Bay, and surrounding areas identified the single most important fish and game-related change we can make. This resulted in House Bill 93. The East POWAC bought the ADF&G public file of every hunting, fishing, trapping, commercial license sold so we could cross-reference the seasonal residents in our communities that we thought were purchasing resident licenses just so they could increase their harvest, participate in personal use and or subsistence fisheries, and in general, take more than their fair share of resources. With this file, we identified many of these folks. Seasonal residents to purchase non-resident licenses are not the issue at stake in House Bill 93. Neither are the non-resident clients that are guided and the DIY folks that are legally hunting, trapping, or fishing. Passage of this bill will make the residency requirements easier to comprehend and enforce, decrease illegal guiding, increase funding to the state, leave more fishing game in the water and on the land for true year-round residents, and in general, improve our lives, our communities, and our state. There are well over 40 properties in Kluwak that have their utilities turned on only during the summer. In Kaufman Cove, 102 of the 197 are seasonal residents, and many of them return with a new batch of friends every week to whack and stack fish. The conflicts between year-round residents and seasonal residents have divided our communities on Prince of Wales. Seasonal residents also take advantage of the permanent ID license once they reach 60 years of age, so they're not paying the state a nickel for their hunting, fishing, trapping license.
Mr. Whitehead, you're at the two-minute mark. If you could conclude your remarks, that would be great. Did you want to conclude?
I wrote a letter. I'll just wrap it up. With seasonal residents are also engaging in illegal guiding, either knowingly or unknowingly. The definition of illegal guiding is being compensated for your services.
Thank you.
Got my letter. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for your letter. Next in the queue is Gregory Volstead. Mr. Volstead.
Yes, my name's Gregory Volstead. I'm an 18-year Anchorage, Alaska resident. I support closing loopholes for those trying to game the system. However, I'm a pilot for a large international cargo airline that provides a significant revenue source for the state of Alaska. In many years, I am gone just over 180 days. However, I do not reside anywhere else. I'm flying to China tonight and back to Anchorage on Saturday. That is a typical week at work for me. Does that make me less of a resident? I am calling in support of an allowable absence for the hundreds of flight crew members like myself who reside in Alaska but may fall outside the PFD definition of a resident. I'm opposed to any onerous requirements to prove my, quote, residency required for hunting and fishing license under HB 93. I am in support of HB 295, which hopefully will clarify those absences. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we've got Jake Fletcher. Mr. Fletcher calling from Talkeetna. Go ahead, Mr. Fletcher.
Hi. Hey, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. My name is Jake Fletcher. I'm from Talkeetna, Alaska. I'm also the chairman of the Board of Game. I'm just here in a capacity to answer any questions if the committee has any. I didn't think it'd be appropriate for me to make a statement at this time. And then I really apologize to, I know you don't have a letter in front of you, but it was very important to me and our committee that we encompass the dissenting votes, the votes that weren't in support of sending a letter in the letter of support to you guys. So I haven't got that together yet. I apologize. And it's here. McFassie, if you have any questions, thank you.
So the question for the members of the committee, is there any question for Mr. Fletcher? Mr. Fletcher is the chair of the Board of Game, and if there are questions regarding the testimony that he has uploaded, now is your opportunity. Hearing and seeing none, Mr. Fletcher, thank you, and I understand you'll get the additional documents in here as soon as you can. Next in the queue is Ed Martin calling from the Kenai.
Thank you, Chair.
Claim
well,
on this
members.
My memory is getting a little bit less and less every year at 71 years old. But I can tell you I'm a 60-year resident. I remember when we used to snag fish in Willow Creek when my dad was homesteading on the Cashewitna River. Now, I have witnessed a lot of game in the state of Alaska, and we are losing a lot of game. But when it comes to residency, I have very well been Alaska resident. My heart is in Alaska, will never leave. It is my residency and my domicile. I am calling you currently from my winter vacation on the Big Island. Now, anybody has a problem with that, with my residency, then speak up right now. But I have a full-time Alaska resident senior license. If you intend to take it away from me, tell me now. But don't do this to other people. The resource belongs to the people of Alaska. Okay? There's no doubt about that. And as far as I'm concerned, a whole lot of these non-resident guides should have their license up around $100,000 a year. And any non-resident wants to come and get our fish, I can tell you the bag limit should be less or come at a cost. There's lots of ways you can solve this problem. And one in most particular is enforcement. I've been on the Kenai River. I've dip netted my share. But there's a lot of people probably dip netting and taking a hell of a lot more than what they should. I don't see any enforcement on the Kenai River. So it's your duty, legislators, to make certain that the executive branch enforces the law, including fraud.
Mr. Martin, you're at the two-minute mark.
I think I made it through this.
Thank you very much, Matt. I'll give you a chance to conclude if you want a little bit more.
Well, I don't know what more I could say. I'm not for this particular passing in this bill if it takes away any of my rights.
All right.
Leave the state for health reasons or otherwise.
We have your opposition.
And those people that testified. Thank you very much. Run airlines.
Thank you very much, Mr. Martin. All right. Next in the queue, we've got Hans Rodvik calling, I believe, from Colorado.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. My name is Hans Rodvik. I was born and raised in Alaska. Lived there for 31 years of my life. Recently moved out of state with my family for an opportunity down here in Colorado. Had to pay the non-resident fees and associated requirements. I'm calling today because very opposed to House Bill 93 as it's written. The bill would turn my brother into a non-resident overnight. He is a professional maritime worker who works out of state, like many maritime workers do. He's on a rotational schedule, and due to the nature of his work, he would automatically become a non-resident overnight if this bill passed. And that would, you know, undermine and jeopardize hunting and fishing rights that are supposed to be protected by the state's constitution under Article 8, tying those rights to equal access and equal opportunity to the PFD. I think is wrong, and I think, as you've heard from the pilots and other workers who have worked to take them out of state, I think this bill needs to be put on pause until serious consideration can be given to either amendments or pursuing further changes to it. So I sent in a letter to the committee this afternoon, and I appreciate the opportunity here to testify today.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue is Abraham Horschel, Mr. Horschel.
Hi, my name is Abe Horschel. I live in Valdez, Alaska. I'm a 50-plus year resident, was born and raised without electricity and without a phone in Alaska. And I'm 100%, and a lot of my neighbors too and family were 100% for this bill. We think that I've had my hunting areas overrun by people that have done the exact same thing that this bill will stop. I had my third generation area overrun 3 years ago by two guys from Washington that came up here and worked for 12 consecutive months and left and then just chose to come back in the summers. They bought a little piece of property and they chose to come and hunt and they get a resident license because they do qualify. And I'd also like to make this statement. So if you look on Google, and you search why transient workers choose Alaska, I just encourage everybody to search for that, because what I see is, yes, there are some remote cases where it happens, where, you know, it excludes someone or makes them go through a more, you know, a longer vetting process or something to get a license. But in there, it says that commercial airline pilots and transient workers choose states with no income tax at their home base, even though they don't live there. They come to Alaska, they buy a Airbnb or a house somewhere to get an address, they Airbnb it, they come up here, they get all the fish out of all these rivers, and they leave. And so maybe, yes, there is some limited amount of people that get affected by this, but it's not what people are saying. And I fought forest fires for 15 years, and I went out of state for many of those years. I was based out of Fort Wainwright, out of Delta Junction, and out of some other places. And I would just disclose everything, and never once did they tell me I couldn't have a dividend. So I don't really understand
that. Mr. Horschel, you're at the two-minute mark. If you could conclude your remarks, that'd be great.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I'm strongly for this bill, and I think that the data on the census is way off, because it includes children. It includes people over 65 who aren't license holders.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Appreciate your testimony. Next in line is Harold Horton. Mr. Horton from Eagle River. 2 minutes, please.
Hi, my name is Harold Horton. I'm an airline pilot here based out of Anchorage. I just listened to a bunch of folks here for a while, and they're talking about this isn't a big problem, and it seems like the vast majority of this issue is in the south, not in the southeast. Sorry, I'm really hard on working right now. Me personally, it won't affect me with my airline job. I'm lucky enough to be home every night, but I have friends that live in and around Anchorage. They will be affected. They're lifetime Alaskans, and I don't want to speak just for pilots. There's a lot of other jobs. There's truckers. What about a truck driver driving your stuff up from Seattle, lives in Alaska, has nothing to do with any other state, and this is going to tell that person that they're not a resident. I'm not sure where that person would be a resident of if they're not a resident of Alaska and they live here and have nothing to do with any other state. One of my kind of things that I wonder is, why is residency based on how many days you're just in the state? Why is that the delineating factor? There's all kinds of statistics we can come up with to say, if you meet this statistic, you're a resident. But why is 180 days just kind of the number that has been settled on it? Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If you're in the state for 179 days, or if you're out of the state for 179 days, you're not a resident. But if you're in the state, if you're out of the state for, it's just a few days can make a huge difference. So I don't know why that's, I'm sure there's other ways. I know this is a problem.
Mr. Horton, you're at the two-minute mark. If you could conclude your remarks, that would be great.
Yeah, I'm sure I will do. Thank you. And I'm sure there's other ways to fight this problem. I know it's a problem. I just don't think this kind of arbitrary day is the way to do it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
disenfranchising a bunch of actual Alaskans. Thank you.
I appreciate your testimony. Thank you very much. I don't have anyone else in the queue. Is there anyone in the room that would like to provide public testimony that has not testified already? Hearing and seeing no one and having no one else, let me double check. No one else online. We are going to close public testimony on House Bill 93. Are there any further questions for members of the committee? For the bill sponsor, actually, why don't you both, Representative Himshute and staff, both please come back.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We heard in some testimony regarding whether this bill would affect folks' voting rights. And so I'm curious if you could just speak a little bit to the language of this legislation, because I don't see it necessarily impacting anyone's ability to vote, but maybe I'm missing something.
Thank you. Through the chair, Senator Tobin, Rebecca Himshute, House District 2. For clarification, this bill has nothing to do with voting rights. Alaskans are Alaskans, and they always will be. This bill also does not say that no one can hunt or fish. It says everyone can hunt and fish, some as residents, some as non-residents, but it does not impact voting rights.
Thank you.
I had a couple of questions. One is, in your presentation, you noted that registering for the draft was a requirement for the permanent fund, but it would not be a requirement for a hunting and fishing license. Why is that distinction made?
Thank you for the question, Chair Clayman. That was to show that the bill closely aligns with the dividend, but doesn't exactly mirror the dividend. So we could add that as a requirement for hunting and fishing, but it's not currently, and that would not change.
But at least as a policy matter, you, as bill sponsor, wouldn't have a problem requiring folks to register for the draft as well.
Certainly not.
And then I'm also curious, because it struck me when listening to some of the testimony that the number of boxes you check on a hunting fishing license it's pretty short, and they're not a lot, but then you get into some of these exemptions on the permanent fund dividend, it becomes several pages. What is the if this bill passes, what does the application look like when you're applying for a fishing license, assuming the bill has passed?
Chair Clayman, nothing will change in your application for hunting and fishing, but you are attesting that you meet the residency requirements. So it's the same process to apply, and it's been on the honor system, will continue to be on the honor system. But we now would have enforceable guardrails around it, so that when you fill out that one or two check boxes on your fishing license, you are saying, I meet these requirements.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Tobin has a question. I got her thinking.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you touched on it a little bit. I'd just like to hear a little bit more of if you could expound further, as the bill before us doesn't take away anyone's hunting and fishing privileges. We did hear from quite a few testifiers who seemed to think that they would be unable to hunt here in Alaska. And I'd love to hear just what your intent of the legislation is, and some of the concerns that we heard from particularly airline pilots.
Thank you. Through the chair, Senator Tobin, Rebecca Himshute, for the record. Thank you for the question. It's a great question. No one is going to be told they can't hunt or fish. The question is, are you a resident or a non-resident? Everyone will be able to hunt and fish just as now, but it more clearly defines who fishes as a resident, who hunts as a resident. And then to address the pilot question directly, yes, I am a co-sponsor on a bill in the House right now that would add an exemption into the permanent fund dividend statute to clarify out-of-state pilots, or I should make that more clear, folks who live here in Alaska, Alaskan pilots who for their work are carried out of state more than the 180 days. I think that's a fair exemption, and all exemptions like that should be added to the dividend statute.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you, and this is actually just more of a statement. I think we all have examples of times that we've been out of state for more than 180 days. I was out of the state serving our country in the U.S. Peace Corps for almost 4 years, and I did lose my ability to be eligible for the permanent fund dividend, which was a choice I made. I very much wanted to continue my service and continue being able to give back to my community, as well as learn and educate myself to come back and improve my state. I think sometimes we get a little bit confused when we think about choice and also requirements. I understand the exemptions in the permanent fund dividend are about things that we can't necessarily control, but sometimes employment is one we can.
Senator Tobin, is that a comment or a question? That's just a comment, requires no response. Is it Representative McCabe's bill about pilots that you're a co-sponsor for? Do you know the bill number?
259. Sorry, I don't. I should have jotted that down.
That's all right. You Apologies. Can ask. And the other question, and I'm not going to ask bill numbers, are there any other House bills that have been introduced? I'm not sure in response, but related in one way or another to this legislation that also add permanent fund clarifications or exemptions other than Representative McCabe's bill?
Thank you for the question. To my knowledge, no. I will note for the record that we did add merchant mariners last year through a House bill.
So the merchant mariners were actually added in the House bill, and that passed the House and Senate and has been approved by the governor.
Correct. Okay.
So merchant mariners are now included within the permanent fund exemptions.
Correct.
All right.
And for the record, anyone losing residency through Peace Corps service or whatever else can reestablish that at any time. Unlike the dividend, you have to be – for the dividend, you have to be here a calendar year, January to December. This bill maintains the current status of 1 year, 12 months. So if you arrive in July, the following July, you're eligible as a resident. So you can reestablish residency.
And Senator Tilton has advised that the House bill in question is House Bill 295.
Apologies. Thank you.
No, no, nothing to apologize for. I can never even remember my own bill numbers. So heaven help me if I am asked to remember anyone else's bill numbers. All right. I don't see any other questions from members of the committee. We're going to wind up for the day. We're going to hold House Bill 93 for further review and adjourn. Our next meeting is on Wednesday, February 18 at 1:30 p.m. I intend to look to the will of the committee on Wednesday with regard to Senate Bill 212, number of Superior Court judges. During Senate Bill 212's first hearing, we set an amendment deadline for February 2nd, and we did not receive any amendments from committee members. So we'll be looking at that bill as drafted with no changes, and we stand adjourned. The time is now 2:52 p.m.